Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32, and chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, which can be found on page 194 of your pew Bible. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up. As there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with the seal for the day of redemption. Put away from all your bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Be imitators of Christ. That's what the Scripture says. We are called to follow the example of Christ. Some people are able to imitate people, some comedians, some actors. I know a number of actors made a lot of money imitating Ronald Reagan's speech and his patterns. There are people who go out and think they're performing the sincerest form of flattery by imitating someone. I think most times, as grandparents look at grandchildren, sometimes they see a little bit of their children in those grandchildren. Those grandchildren are imitating their parents sometimes. Sometimes good. And I'll let it go at that. I'm just waiting for Calvin to get a little older. Oh, boy, is Amanda in for a lot of fun. If he in any way imitates his mother or his dad from talking to his mom and dad. But this is something that Paul is continuing in this lesson to the church at Ephesus. And this is one where, in Paul's own way, usually there's a point, counterpoint. There's this and then that. There's a sequence of things. He puts things together like a flow diagram, a logical flow diagram. If this happens or these things happen, then this happens. We should do this because. So Paul starts in verse 25, so then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Remember last week, what were we focused on? One. Not one being the loneliest number, one being the great. All in one. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all in one. This Trinity, this concept that's hard to believe because they seem separate and distinct. God the Creator, Jesus the Savior, Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, that Comforter, Counselor. One God. Out of that, there's one family, just as the body itself has hands and fingers and feet and eyes and ears. it's all one body, just as the Christian body of Christ. We Christians, this church that we call ourselves, are gifted and talented in different ways. I couldn't play a piano to save my life. I can plink away, make noise, but I can't do that like Becky can. And you don't even want to hear me try the organ. You don't even want to hear me try the organ. Whether the one that's not plugged in there or this one, you don't want me to try the organ. But each of us is given gifts and talents. And they're gifts and talents for what? For the edification of God, not to make ourselves look great or glorious. I mean, those hands that were pressed onto that sheet by those children at Vacation Bible School, when you have a chance to look at that, I think you'll find that no one of them is exactly the same. There are going to be differences in every one of them. And each one of those children has gifts and talents that are going to be formed and grow in them today. And they started, maybe not this Vacation Bible School, but it was continued at this Vacation Bible School and others like it. That's why it's important that we recognize that we are one body of believers, that we all are in this together. We can't just walk away from it. And we are to imitate Christ because he didn't walk away from it. He walked with us. And in communion, as we celebrated last week, when we partake of communion, when we receive the body of Christ given in the bread and drink the wine, the cup of Christ, the blood of Christ shed, then we have Christ in us. Not just figuratively, literally. Speak truth to our neighbors, but not too harshly. I mean, it may be true that the dog is digging a hole. It may be true that the dog is digging under your fence. It may be true that bush needs to be trimmed back away from your fence. It may be true that they're playing their music a little too loud and, you know, you don't necessarily share the same taste in music. Yours is more cultivated and cultured because you grew up in the 60s and 70s, and acid rock and Jimi Hendrix are your forte. And that person grew up with Chopin and Beethoven and Bach. They can be a little raucous, too. But, you know, we present ourselves and speak truth, but we do it gently because we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. This one was tough because be angry, but do not sin. All right. How many of you, you don't have to show hands. Just think. It's a rhetorical question. How many of you have never been angry? My hand's not going up. So the point here is, be angry, but do not sin. The problem is sometimes we allow an anger to grow and fester and just kind of build up until it consumes us. And when we burst forth with this anger that's been pent up, we do something that we regret. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let it fester. Speak truth to that neighbor. Don't get angry and get to the point where you cut down a tree to drop over on his fence because you were bugged by whatever. Trying to be humorous, that's probably not very funny. But what you do is you don't let that anger fester. You deal with it. You speak truth in love and caring. Because if you don't, devil's going to triumph in that. When you get so angry that you visit retribution on those, on that person for something they've done to you, that you hurt them, you hurt you, and in hurting them, you hurt Christ. You injure the body. And guess who celebrates when the body of Christ is injured? The devil, he's up there dancing and doing a jig. Look at all these Christians. I got them hating each other. I've got them persecuting each other. Boy, I am just so happy. Well, I don't want to make the devil happy at all. I'd rather have him wringing his hands and worrying. Paul also speaks to things that are changes. This is to Christians who are no longer the heathens that they were, able to act and do things. So he's telling them, these are the things that you should do. Put away falsehood. Speak the truth. Don't be angry. Don't sin. Thieves even must give up stealing. And it's not so much that they should give up stealing, but that they should labor and work honestly with their own hands so that they can enjoy the fruits of their labor. No, even more so that they have something to share with the needy. See, it's not about you and me. It's not just about us. If you've been given to gifts and talents, they're for the edification of the body, the edification of the church, edification of God. That's why when we come together and offer our offerings and gifts and His tithes, we do that together as a community. And those tithes and offerings are for the benefit of many. Boy, this one's a tough one. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Last night, as we were worshiping, and I said, well, what do you mean by evil talk? Gossip? Malicious? Saying something about somebody, it may be true, but it's not helpful. It's not hopeful. It's not filled with hope, and it's not filled with help. It's filled with venom, and I'm going to get that person. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be changed and transformed. And you know what? You and I can't do it by ourselves. We need the power of God. We need the power and grace of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us. Because verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Any activity that endangers the body of Christ, the unity of that body of Christ, that's what grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in love with each and every one of you. Now, when I say love, that's the agape, not the phileo, not the brotherly, not the eros, not the physical, but agape. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is in love with each and every one of you, as Jesus Christ was in love with each and every one of you. Were it not so, He wouldn't have gone to a cross. For you. And for me. The words of that song, softly and gently, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and loud phones. Together. For you and for me, together with all malice. Now, think about this. Paul is telling these people that this is what you're supposed to live by telling them what they're not supposed to do, what they're supposed to give up. Bitterness. You know, that person always just grates me. They always one-up me. They always have the right thing to say. They just throw that barb in my way, in my face, and It just hurts. And sometimes they just slip that knife in my back, and sometimes it's straight through the heart. But they just, you know, they do it with a smile on their face because they're enjoying it. Wrath and anger, goodness gracious. All of those are motives that aren't positive. Wrath, boy, I'm going to get you. Whose vengeance belongs to whom? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If there's vengeance to be, the Lord's doing it. If you and I are doing it, just as Warren said, if you and I are doing that, then it's the devil that's doing it. Wrangling, slander. Wrangling. You know, I'm going to get over on this person. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be treating people honestly, fairly. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. As God in Christ has forgiven me. We're supposed to be following the example of Christ. We're supposed to be imitators of Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice of God. What part of that do we not understand? What part of that do we not understand? That tender-hearted... I really don't like that person. I never have liked that person. They just rub me wrong. Guess what? Get over it. You don't think God has got a problem with the way you deal with people? You know, there was a movement not that long ago, and I think there's still people have them, bracelets. I mentioned it last night. You know, WWJD. Or, as some people said, WWJS, like, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? And think about this. These are things, if we're going to be imitators of Christ, then we need to really consider what is it that Jesus would do? What is it that Jesus would do? And the reason that we're doing these things is not because we want to earn salvation. Not that we want to purchase our salvation because, look, Lord, I did all of these things that you told me to do, and I only did a couple of these things over here where you told me not to do. So, you know, I'm certainly better than that other person because they did all of these. I only did a couple. And I didn't really like it when I was there either. So forgive me. We're supposed to be imitators of Christ. And how are we supposed to be imitators of Christ? With the way that we speak towards others, the way we model Christ to others, whether it's vacation Bible school, whether it's Bible study, whether it's choir, whether it's missions, any of those things. And sometimes just the common, ordinary way we live our lives. Think about this. What would Jesus do? And we're doing it not because of something that we hope to receive, because I tell you what, we can't pay that debt. There is nothing that you or I can do to pay the debt of our sin. So let's just stop trying. Let's just be imitators of Christ because. Ask yourself, what would Jesus in this circumstance or this situation? And I'm not saying, well, you know, Jesus is love, so I've got to love him. Oh, I don't like it, but I'll love him anyway. No! Give in to the liking them. Give in to the Holy Spirit doing it. Not because, you know, if I don't do it, I'm not going to heaven. Guess what? The bill for your sins has already been paid. You know, that pink slip or that remittance slip that comes with a bill of sale, and it says, and it's stamped, and it says what when you've paid the debt? Paid in full? And you no longer owe anything on that debt because it's paid in full. You've got the paperwork to show it. Your sin debt was marked paid in full. Paid in full. Three nails. Paid. That nail that went into his left hand. In the nail that went into his right hand. Full. The nail that went into his feet. And he hung up there for you and for me. He did it because he was obedient to God's plan. He did it because he knows that God loves us. He didn't have to do it. He did it because God wanted him to do it. And he made God's plan his plan. He was part of the plan from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And Christ is the Word of God made flesh dwelling among us. And he paid our sin debt. He paid it in full. And you and I can't repay. So let's quit trying. Let's live into the love of Christ Jesus. Let's recognize that it is what would Jesus do. Let it live into the paid in full that is over your sin debt. It's been paid. It was not paid by me. It was not paid by you. It won't be paid by you, and it won't be paid by me. It's already been paid. Get over it. Move on. Start dealing with people honestly. Let Galatians 5, 22 and 23 be watchwords for you. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness. And that ninth one is a kicker. Boy, it's hard. Self-control. That's what Jesus would do. And how do I know that? Because he already did it. He already did it. And your sin debt has a stamp that says paid in full. Live your love. I said that right. Live your love. Love your life. Live God's love in your life. And love the life that God has given you. And love the future that God has already purchased for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's a reminder each and every day. Each and every day, it's that Holy Spirit. David loved his son Absalom, even though he betrayed him. David was grieved when he found out how his son had died in his rebellion. That's tough. But the scriptures sometimes are difficult for us to understand. Why did Christ have to go to that cross? Without it, we'd still be trying to pay our sin debt. Because of it, we don't have to worry about that debt anymore. Jesus paid it. God stamped it. And the Holy Spirit cries it. Paid. In full. Shalom. Our hymn of invitation.